Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment before we get into the message? Heavenly Father, as we come to you at this time, the song expressed what I hope will take place this morning, that we will have a glimpse of how great you really are. And so we ask for your Holy Spirit to open our eyes and open our minds and help us in this way to get just a glimpse of who and what you are. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible is the means by which we can know God. Have you ever thought about that? Pretty hard for us to know him in any other way. But at the same time, it reveals attributes of his that are completely unknowable to us. We cannot understand him. They're beyond our comprehension. We're going to consider two words this morning that apply only to God: transcendent and immanent. First, we consider that God is transcendent. Definition of transcendence is exceeding usual limits, surpassing, extending or lying beyond the limits of ordinary experience, being beyond the limits of all possible experience and knowledge, being beyond comprehension, transcending the universe or material existence. The very first book of the Bible says in Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." It's no accident that in our lifetime, this verse is no doubt the most attacked verse in the Bible. Not because of evidence that has to disprove it, but because of those who choose to disprove a God that they will eventually stand before. I was very tempted in putting the message together to right here look at some scientific evidence that continues to mount up concerning intelligent design and refuting all other theories. But we don't have time for it this morning. We're going to look at these two words. The point is that God created the heavens and the earth. In fact, it says in John 1:1-3, "In the beginning was the Word," and you'll notice that is a capital W, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Word refers to Jesus. "He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made." I don't think you can say it any stronger than that. Genesis tells us that God created all things in 6 days by just speaking the word, such as, "Let there be light," and there was light. There are several things revealed in these verses about God that we can never possess and even fully comprehend. These are called God's incommunicable attributes. The first is, God is eternal. He has no beginning and no end. God was in the beginning before anything existed. God exists in a different realm than we have experienced. We cannot comprehend something or someone that has no beginning or no end. I want you to take just a moment right now and try to consider no beginning and no end. Our mind can't go there, can it? We cannot comprehend because we are creatures of time. God is outside time. The second is that God is all-powerful. A fancy word for that is omnipotent. God created the earth and other planets, including the whole universe, as well as the living beings in this universe, in this earth, and mankind. He created everything except mankind by simply speaking the word. And I say that because with mankind, we will look at just in a moment, was a little different. He didn't just say the word, everything else he spoke and it was there. There are hundreds of other miracles in the Old and New Testament that reveal that God is all-powerful. Genesis 1:16 to 19, God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. He set them in the expanse of the sky to give light to the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. Just a sample of what is expressed in Genesis. We will note that all the way through Scripture, I was amazed at how many times creation is spoken of in Scripture. We will see just a few of those. We live in such an amazing time because we are able to discover things about God's creation that man has never seen before. The Hubble telescope is the first major optical telescope to be placed in space. It is above the distortion of the atmosphere, far above rain clouds, light pollution, which give it an unobstructed view of the universe. I'm also told that our location within the galaxy that we are in, that our location is such that it gives us a better view than most any location in the universe to be able to see the rest of the universe. You might be able to understand that a little bit is with the spiral of the galaxy. We're right out at towards the end of one of the arms. We're able to see, if we were inside, we couldn't see anything but our own galaxy for the most part. Scientists have used Hubble to observe the most distant stars and galaxies, as well as the planets in our solar system. Hubble's launch and deployment in 1990 marked the most significant advance in astronomy since Galileo's telescope 400 years ago. It has been able to see objects more than 13.4 million light years from Earth. Here are a few pictures of the galaxies and stars, star clusters taken by Hubble. Let your mind try to grasp the awesomeness of space as you view these. Keep in mind that each of those dots are most likely stars, not even planets. Up until recent times, we were unable to see the universe like we do now through Hubble. A team led a team led by an Australian astronomer calculated the number of stars in the known universe to be, and this obviously is a guesstimate, 70 sextillion cubed. 70 sextillion is 70 followed by 21 zeros. So 70 sextillion cubed is 70 followed by 21 zeros times 70 followed by 21 zeros times 70 followed by 21 zeros. One scientist made the statement that this unfathomable number is more than 10 times the number of grains of sand on the seashore and the deserts on Earth together. 10 times more, obviously another estimate. We can't put our minds around it, can we? Can't even comprehend the number. Psalms 147:4 says, He determines the number of stars. and calls each of them by name. We can't comprehend a God with that kind of knowledge. Would you agree he is transcendent? Psalms 19, 1 through 6, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises from one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. Not only do the heavens declare the glory of the transcendence of God, but when we look the other direction, when we look into the microscopic world, we see the same thing. Once again, we live in an amazing time because of the relatively recent discovery of DNA. DNA is the complex code of the genes that give the instructions of all living cells. Bill Gates says that DNA is like a software program, but is far more complex than we have ever created. The human genome has 3 billion characters. That is equivalent to 850 Bibles. Here's a picture, a couple of pictures of DNA. That first picture, the line across there is DNA, which is a, I can't even think of the term for it, but cyclical. The second picture kind of is a diagram of how it's laid out. It's amazing to me that we've been able to discover that at all. But this is in every cell, every living cell that there is, in our human body as well. The spiral, that first picture, the width of that line is 2 nanometers. You would have to line up 50,000 of those side by side, 50,000 of them, to be equivalent to the width of a human hair. We haven't been able to take a picture of that until the last very recent period of time. The length of that DNA, which is in every cell of ours, is 6 feet long. When coiled up, it is about the size of a pencil dot. Every cell in our body has a spiral of DNA. If we were to uncoil that, as you see there, the string, if we were to uncoil it, it's normally coiled up in a ball, and strung it together, all of them together in our cells, it would reach to the sun and back 300 times. Again, we can't comprehend it, can we? 93 million miles one way, 300 times. This causes a huge problem for those who want to believe that life came about by random processes based on the theory of Darwin of a single cell that is very simple. It's far from simple. We cannot even uncover. We're just barely scratching it right now. Even the simplest computer program requires intelligence. So how absurd is it to think this code of life, which far exceeds anything man has ever created or can even comprehend, happened by accident? It once again speaks of the glory of God. More and more scientists are coming to conclude, and sometimes very reluctantly, that things have come about by intelligent design. The Bible tells us who that designer is. Number three, God is three in one. The Trinity. When it came to creating mankind, it says in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. So God created man, created him in his own image, in the image of God. He created him, male and female. He created them. The words us and our in verse 26 refers to the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We cannot comprehend God, that God is three in one, that he is one, but he subsists of three distinct persons, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in complete unity. Number four, he is all-knowing. Omniscient is a fancy word for it. Hebrews 4:13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And Matthew 10:30, and even the very hairs of your head are numbered. And I'm trying to make that a lot easier on him these days. God is everywhere present. Omnipresent. Psalms 139, 7 and 8. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. Number six, God is holy. We have a basic idea of what it means to be holy. In fact, God tells us in his word to be holy as he is holy. The only way we can be holy is through the forgiveness of our sins through faith in Jesus Christ. And his death on our behalf. And a miracle takes place, doesn't it? We are transformed. And we're made holy. But far less than the holiness of God. When Moses asked for God to show him his glory, God responded this way in Exodus 33:20. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live. This was not something God said to impress Moses. It is a reality that in our present state, mankind cannot see him and live. We may know something about holiness and being holy, but to be so holy that one could not look at him and live, we don't understand. That's beyond our comprehension. He is transcendent. Obviously, we could go on and on speaking about the transcendence of God, but it's very important that we consider this second word that can also only be used about God, and that is that God is immanent. The literal meaning of immanence of God is to be within or near in relation to his creation. God did not create everything and then walk away and leave it. Linear accelerator scientists have discovered a complexity they never dreamed of, and they have found particles that they cannot even invent names for. But one thing they are consistently discovering is that there is some strange force that holds everything together. They do not know what to call it, and they do not know how to identify it. They talk about it as a kind of cosmic glue that holds things together. The Bible speaks about Jesus saying in Colossians 1, 16 and 17, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth. Another reference in the scripture, again to creation, again speaking of Jesus. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. We have seen from what God has created and from his word that he is so far above us that there are many things that we cannot comprehend. However, he is not so far above us that we cannot know him. He is truly amazing that this one so great and awesome cares so much about us that he wants to live in relationship to us. David expressed perhaps what has come to your minds as we have considered his creation. In Psalms 8, 3 through 6, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. Can you grasp that? That God cares that much about man in the midst of his unbelievable universe. We've already noted that he created us in his image, and unlike any other creature he created, he breathed into us the breath of life. Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He didn't just speak it. He formed us from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. At our very creation, it was evident that God had a special plan for mankind. In the King James Version, it says, and man became a living soul. Unlike anything else in creation, we became a living soul, an eternal being. Genesis tells us that God came and walked with Adam and Eve in the garden before the fall into sin. God wanted a relationship with mankind and still does. He did not just create everything, including us, and then leave us on our own. The fact that God is transcendent does not mean that he is distant from us. This truth is made evident all the way through Scripture. I was reading in Numbers a few weeks ago, and as I read about God speaking to Moses, and he began to tell Moses and give him the boundaries of Israel, little nation of Israel. I tried to find a way of showing that on the globe. But if you've ever looked on the globe, the nation of Israel is so tiny, it's almost a dot on the globe. And here the God who created this universe that we cannot comprehend, our mind doesn't go there. And yet he was speaking to a man on this tiny world in comparison, and a tiny nation. And he outlined the boundaries of that nation. That's a God that is imminent. He's involved in our lives. And as I read that, and really that's where the thought for this message came from as I read that. The God who is amazingly transcendent is also amazingly imminent. He reveals himself to us through creation. Romans 1:20. For since the creation, another reference to creation, of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. I want to have him put the picture of the galaxy back up there, one of them. I want you to stretch your mind with me once again as we look at this galaxy, which is one of billions of galaxies, which each has billions of stars. And I would like to have showed you a picture of the Milky Way, the galaxy we are in, but pretty hard to take a picture of the Milky Way when you're inside of it. But assume with me for a moment that this is our galaxy. And this, pick out any one of those dots up there, and that's our world. In reality, we probably wouldn't even be able to see our world in the galaxy. It would be so small. Don't you relate to David's words, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" Put up a picture of the earth, if you would. There's a couple of them there, I believe. Just to help us picture of who we are in the midst of this unbelievable creation. His amazing plan of redemption is another example of his immanence. I mentioned a moment ago that at creation God walked with Adam and Eve and had fellowship with them in the garden before they fell into sin. And we know that that changed everything. At that moment, death came into the world, and they experienced immediate spiritual death, separation from God, no longer fellowship with him, and physical death began to be implemented. Everything in creation began to die. Everything. Everything began to die. The plan reveals his imminence, the plan of redemption, that God had a plan because of their fall into sin to restore man back into relationship with him and to give them eternal life. That reveals his imminence more than anything else. His discussion with Moses about the boundaries of the nation of Israel was a part of that plan, because out of that nation was going to be the Israelites through whom Jesus would come. He was fully God, and he was fully man as he was born into the world. That is imminence. Put a picture of the child up there. Again, we can't grasp that, can we? The God who did all the creation became one of us. Became one of us. But he did not stop there. Jesus gave his life for us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Just as transcendence, God's transcendence, reveals attributes that we cannot fully understand, this is also true of his immanence. Who can understand the love of God? The transcendent triune God determined that his Son, Jesus, would not only become one of us, but would give his life for us. He did this while we were still sinners, living in disobedience, rejecting him, and maybe even fighting against him. Contrary to what some believe, sin does not change God's love for us. His love, he loves us while we are yet sinners. If it were not so, there wouldn't be any one of us that would come to relationship with him. However, his love for us is of no value, no benefit to us, unless we receive it by faith, turning from our sin and receiving the gift of salvation. That is imminence. And number five, he lives in us. John 14:23, Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home in him." Picture of the revelation or the resurrection. Only God can be this imminent. This God who created all wants to live within you and I. We may have a close relationship with others, but only God can live in us by His Spirit. He actually lives in us. There can be no greater imminence than that. I know that that's a lot of information and a lot of scripture, but I've done my best this morning to give us a glimpse of God's transcendence and His imminence. And as I prepared for this message, the response of my heart was to worship Him. I don't know about you, but that was my response. And I had to stop several times as I was preparing. I just had to stop and worship God as I began to look at these things. And my prayer is that is your response as well. We're going to close with a song that expresses it very well. Some of you may or may not have seen this before. It's a blind man by the name of Gordon Moen. And he sings a song that expresses very well. And I would like us today, would you stand with me as he sings this? And if you can sing along, that's fine too. But I want us to do something that I don't think we do very well sometimes. We are so self-conscious that we have trouble expressing our worship to God. I want you to do something this morning. If worship wells up in your heart, that you would be in God, we would have an audience of one, and that one would be God Himself. And that as we worship, however you want to express that, I don't know what it would be for you, whether you want to raise your hands in worship of Him. Maybe you want to fall on your knees in worship of Him. However you express it, don't worry about what anyone else sees. You're worshiping Him. And let's close with true worship of God. Would you do that? Go ahead. Turn it up.
In the crashing of the ocean, there's a power that no man will ever hold. All the stars in the heavens decorate your handiwork. And like a mighty choir, they've come to celebrate your word. Just in the beauty of your grace.
Praise God. Would you say that with me? Praise you, God. Thank you. Amen.